but it's so right. Are you feeling it? So loud, and it's so right. Till we're both drunk, then it's so fast, then it's all over. Go home, go sleep, wake up, get sober. What a great night. And it's so loud, and it's so right. Till we're both drunk, then it's so fast, then it's all over.
You're excited about Monsters from the Sea, aren't
you? Yeah, and yeah, Canada is on the Pacific Rim.
It is. So do they, what do we know about this film? Is it like Godzilla comes out of the ocean? Like, it looks like Godzilla in the
But there's more than one, JB.
The trailers.
There's more than one. This is supposedly there's some sort of dimensional rift deep in the Pacific Ocean, like deep in one of the deepest trenches.
Oh, there's a rift. Yeah, I thought they just were big turtles or something.
No. They've come through from the bottom of the ocean and they just stomp around and destroy Manila, of all places, Manila.
Wouldn't the water just push back through the rift?
But
that's a terrible way to get it. Okay, open the rift, send the monster through.
You made a terrible error there. You're assuming that they're coming from where the air is. Maybe they're coming from a world where the water is of the higher pressure. And it blasts into our world.
So this is like a portal story. Yeah. These guys have ported here from somewhere. Monster planet.
Yeah. And they come out of the ocean, I said, attack Manila. And one of the ads, they go, and Manila was attacked. Like, pretty gutsy move to go, not New York, not Seattle, not Tokyo. No, Manila.
I think you'll find Manila was second on their feasting thing. I think the first one was like San Francisco or something.
Oh, there you go. I didn't know that one.
Probably cheaper to destroy Manila than it was San Francisco. Well, maybe.
Cheaper to rebuild.
Well, you say to the government, we actually want to destroy Manila. Here's $1 million. That'll be fine.
We'll knock it down. We'll build you a nice new one. Yeah, that's all shiny. All the best cardboard.
It won't be Manila. It'll be beige.
Thank
you very much. Yes.
You're fired.
Oh, I'm sorry.
But so you watched all the trailers, man. I've been putting these trailers up like mad. I think it's just me and you who likes it.
I am so crazy for this movie. Because if people don't know, we're like, what the hell are they talking about? Giant monsters. And the humans go, we're not going down. We're not going gently into that good night. We're going to build a giant F-off robot. I'm going to fight them with our fists, with jetpacks on our fists.
Is it the robots and the monsters, or is it the fact that they're Guillermo del Toro robots and monsters, which is getting you excited in the pants for giant monsters?
I made noises that a man in his 30s is not allowed to make anymore because just against the law. When I saw...
Did you squeak?
I squeed in pitches that any dogs could hear. There's a monster standing in a city somewhere, and there's this robot kind of swaggering towards it. It had a definite swagger, like it's being very confident, and... It was dragging a petrol tanker in one hand. And as the monster comes towards it, it casually lifts up the petrol tanker and just bats the monster across the city. And I went, there you go. That's the movie. I don't care about the rest. I don't care if there's a love story. I don't care who wins or dies. There's just a monster being hit by a giant.
So what you're saying is you're not really in it for the narrative.
No, don't care.
Okay.
Here's a giant monster.
Well, that's why I enjoyed the American remake of Godzilla. No narrative.
No narrative at all. I quite like that because it was like a big dog. Imagine it was kind of Clifford the Big Red Dog attacks New York. And I quite like
that. I want to see that.
It seemed quite nice. It was kind of wandering around eating fish, you know, attacking choppers. Anyway, that was just me. That's obviously.
Wait, can we go back to this tanker?
Yes.
This petrol tanker that the monster gets hit with by the giant robot. So there's no one in the tanker.
I guess. Well, no, well,
the monster's
not
done
for
that
long.
Terminator thing. Get out.
No, I don't.
So my recollection is that it picked up, it's like an Aegis cruiser or something and hit it with a big battleship.
Yeah.
Or is that another trailer I'm thinking of?
No. You mean an oil tanker?
Yeah, oil tanker.
An oil tanker ship.
Oil tanker. Yeah, not like a car tanker. No. Bigger than that. Sorry, I meant an oil tanker.
Should have picked up a cruise ship. That stuff's poisonous.
And then if you don't kill it, you've given it syphilis.
Yeah.
I even like the idea. A lot of people on the internet are annoyed with the idea that you had of two pilots with their brains synced. And I was thinking, well, it doesn't annoy me. It's just an interesting way of having relationships in a story. That's fine. But I went, if you have one person who's really good at piloting the robot and the other person is a brilliant fighter, that would be even better. I don't know if that's true, by the way. But that's my idea. You have the warrior and you have the robot pilot syncing their brains to their one brilliant robot warrior pilot thing. You know what I'm trying to say here?
Yeah.
Something. But it reminds me of a book I really love, by China Mieville, called Embassy Town, and in that you had people had to link their brains together to talk to aliens.
Oh, okay.
I'm pretty certain.
Was there any insect Nookie in that book. I can't read me able because of all the insect Nookie. Insect
Nookie. you're talking about Pinedo Street Station on that one, yes.
Yeah. He roots the praying mantis in the first 20 pages.
Too much antenna on antenna accent.
She was a Kefri, and she had a bug for a head. I don't mean she had a bug's head. She had a bug for a head.
Yeah,
it was a bit weird. In that book, no, there wasn't any insect Nookie, I'm afraid. I missed out on that one. It's very sad. Excellent book. I really like Embassy Town. It was one of those weird ideas of the aliens have two mouths and they speak out of both mouths at the same time. And so they don't understand, or they only hear a voice from one mouth. So they have to hear a voice from two mouths from the same brain. So
he's got that whole duality thing going, doesn't he? Because he does, I don't know that it's something similar, but he's working the duality riff in City in the City too, which of course I haven't read because, you know, insect Nookie. But that's what I hear.
There's an awful lot of literature discussion going on in our chat about Pacific Rim.
I wanted to talk. I was talking about something, but then I'd really love one of his books. He had a possibility, or the quantum sword, or something like that. And the idea was you swung this sword at someone, and it would always hit in the places it could possibly hit you. So what it meant was, if you were a brilliant swordsman in real life and you held this sword, it would only hit the person in one or two places because they knew exactly where it was going to go. If you're a really crap swordsman, you might hit them in 40 places, but you'd also cut your own leg off because that's the place it could have gone. So you couldn't be too bad and you couldn't be too good. You had to be like an average swordsman to be really brilliant at this possibility sword. And it almost smacked of Douglas Adams.
Yeah. Kind
of Douglas Adams-y kind of weapon thing. And I really liked that concept. That's kind of fun. So the wrong person in the wrong hands, it was a shocking weapon that murdered everyone. In the rest hands, it was also a shocking weapon that murdered everyone. Anyway, giant monsters.
Adams was it was the infinite in probability drive, wasn't it?
Oh, yep. Yeah. Among others.
Yes.
Did he do the cheese drive? Was he the one with the piece of cheese?
There was a cupcake running the total perspective vortex.
And didn't the infinite improbability drive have a cup of tea, a hot cup of tea? At its heart.
Yes.
Yes, because it needed the brownie in motion of the tea to keep going.
So these big freaking robots, they're not run by cupcakes, are they?
They are quite improbable.
What I even love about this concept of the big robots, I was reading recently, this is even getting sillier, because humans make these robots to fight back the darkness. They all punch the monsters in the face, and we seem to be doing okay, but then the monsters start getting a bit more clever and start tearing apart all the robots because they're onto us. So the movie says, you know, these two pilots go back and get an obsolete robot that wasn't very good, and they take it out for one last battle. So not only is it super, super future robots, but it's the crap. Happy one, the scrappy up-and-comer robot. Are you going, you don't need to add that to this. You don't need to go, there was one robot that wasn't very good, but now it's all in our hands.
Where do you mothball
it? It's the Rocky robot, but it's like Rocky VI.
Yeah, that's it.
And, oh, dear.
You're wondering why. You're like, why put that wrinkle in it? And like, that robot can't possibly win. It's an old one. And like, oh, it showed its worth.
I'm guessing what happens is that they have to fall back on, you know, human... You know,
love
or something. Yeah, love. Is there a love interest in this?
That'd be love.
It doesn't sound like there's going to be a love interest unless there's like some sexy scientist.
Oh, there's always a sexy scientist.
Oh, there's a sexy robot. What? The artificial intelligence in the scientist's lab is played by Ellen. Yes. What's her name? Who does the voice of
GLaDOS
in Portal?
And they asked if they could use her voice, and Valve said yes.
That's extra geek points right there.
Oh, that's the reason I want to see this film.
They supposedly changed.
You're not even going to watch it, are you? You're just going to go in with your eyes closed.
Yeah, just to really savor the noises of monsters slapping. Giant metal robots.
GLaDOS, when they used her voice, though, they showed it in a screening, and parts of it, like 20 minutes in a screening somewhere, and a lot of geeks went, it was really distracting to have GLaDOS, the evil robot from Portal, talking in the computers. So they've changed the voice slightly. They've pitched it up or pitched it down just to make it slightly different. Because people are like, why is GLaDOS here? And they kept expecting GLaDOS to turn up. So, they had to change it slightly.
Oh, she better.
That's how she wins.
I want
Space! This thing going.
When's this thing coming out? It must be certain.
July 12th.
Are you going to camp out overnight? There's got to be a game. There's got to be an awful game tie-in. Doesn't it
probably be a beat 'em up? Yeah,
that'd be awesome. Something for the Xbox One with this, like always watching you connect, always listening to you. So when you just wave, you can wave your hands at it and you can punch the monsters. Or you can be a monster.
I'm not sold on the whole sort of Kinect. In fact, I'm not sold on sort of, you know, motion control at all. I was originally, I thought it was going to be awesome because, like everyone, I was thinking, you know, lightsaber. and you know, ironically, that was one of the only really lame ideas they didn't deliver, the Wii. But the thing that worries me about motion control is, you know, you look at your average gamer, there's not a shitload of motion going on there.
Certainly not a lot of dexterity.
Not a sitting.
I remember the Zelda came out on the Wii, and he goes, just flail madly, and Zelda will slash his sword and aim for the right part. It's like your probability sword.
Yes.
Just slash, and it'll hit the guy. And then the latest one came out and went, well, we heard your feedback. You want to be able to slash from the top left to the bottom right and then horizontally the other direction, and we've set up a mechanic. It's really hard. Sword fighting is hard, John. It's like you have to practice it to be good at it.
It's like Guitar Hero, then. You can be like Sword Hero.
Yeah.
And just go learn the sword. Why can't you just do that? That's the question I always wondered about that. All the time I spent playing Guitar Hero, pressing the little buttons up and down, and got really good at it, I could have probably been learning a guitar and not been as good, but maybe spent more time learning guitar and impressing more chicks. No chick wants to talk about Guitar Hero, but chicks love guitars.
That's what I'm hoping.
Prove me wrong, ladies.
We should probably thank our sponsors.
Ooh. Yeah, we should. Do you know who they are?
No, I have no idea.
Geronimo Jerky.
Ah.
Yeah, I found these. I didn't even know these guys existed until recently.
Yeah.
And now they are a huge part of my life. I was over on the north side of the city. I was actually dropping my daughter off to a German restaurant. They were having some, you know, kids who learn German function at this Schnitzelhaus. Mm. I looked across the street from this place and there was, looked like a cafe. In fact, it is a cafe, but it specializes in jerky.
It specializes in jerky.
A jerky cafe.
Their coffee is apparently very, very good. I haven't tried the coffee, but I have tried the jerky.
Is it stock?
And,
it's
the
not,
coffee.
Yeah.
It's a soup.
Look, they probably, when they dry the meat out, they probably got some stock left over. I'm not sure they put it in a cup for you.
Spin it out.
A bit of frothed up milk if you wanted. But the jerky's insane. I must confess, I had never had jerky until very, very recently.
When you were a lucky man.
I was a jerky virgin until about a week or so ago. Now I'm just a hopeless jerky junkie. Constantly walking around with this.
Andre song?
The thing I love about this stuff is it's dry. It's like dry. I mean, you can stick it in your pocket and leave it there gathering lint for weeks and then just take it out and eat it. Just awesome.
I have to try this. I had the misfortune of trying some camel jerky that someone bought at a service station for
$2. Service station jerky?
Yes.
Service station jerky is the gnarliest, most hardcore jerky you can get, I reckon.
I don't know where these camels came from. I don't think they took the hair off before they dried it. It was... I still want to die just remembering that I had that in my body.
It's all still there.
Oh, I can still taste it.
Every cell of your body has been replaced over 7 years, but that camel jerky is now there forever.
Perhaps Geronimo jerky will help me back on track to savour the juices.
I have
asked
a question about this whole Geronimo jerky thing. Back in the days of refrigeration, we would dry things out to make it last longer. But I have a fridge now. So what does Geronimo jerky give to me as a fridge owner?
It would be good when you go on your space trip.
Well, I mean, I keep a lot of meat in my fridge. And I keep it longer than, you know, medically speaking, you probably should.
Right.
But it's still not as long as you can keep a piece of jerky in your pants pocket.
Ultimately, 60% of that is water.
What a waste
in real
of time.
Meat. What a waste
just
of
time.
You've got to compress
you
all of
well,
that meat.
You might as well be a vegetarian.
You may
so
as well.
Water, you might as well. If you're drinking, what we're saying here on Spartacast is if you eat normal meat, you might as well just call yourself a vegetarian, get rid of all that wasted water, and get down to the actual essence of meat.
That's what jerky is. Jerky is essence.
The essence.
Meat.
Eau de meat. Distilled.
Anyway, you want some jerky, these are the guys to go to. They're over at 32 Blackwood Street, Mitchelton. They're the pride of Mitchelton, actually. You could steal a trolley from a supermarket, take it out to jerky, load up at Geronimo Jerky, get the train home. That's how convenient it is.
You get like 30 animals freeze-dried into a trolley?
You can. None of that ridiculous water. Excellent. Geronimo jerky. Stop listening to the podcast. Go immediately and buy some. Immediately.
I think they're on Facebook. Go check them out on Facebook. Say hello. Tell them I sent you. Did you sit up, Greg, and watch the infamous Red Wedding, Game of Thrones?
I had to deal with a distraught partner who rang me on the phone.
Oh, we should probably... Are there going to be spoilers for Game of Thrones?
In this discussion?
Yeah.
Assuming somebody has been so fucking slack they haven't got around to watching the episode or reading the books.
Greg, have you got around to watching the episode?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Well, you didn't need to watch it, did you? You just sort of had it relayed to you in howl.
That's right. I had a special phone call. I had a phone call sent to me. I thought someone had actually broken in and stabbed my partner in the belly over and over again. That's what I thought had happened.
In a sense, George R. R. Martin did just that.
Pretty much. I took it a bit personally. No, it really was quite a distraught phone call to get from someone that you care about when they're sobbing and crying and you can't quite work out what's going on. You just get that super calm, quiet, okay, just what's happened? Where are you? Are you okay? Are you in a safe place? What? And you realize it's a freaking television show. But then you're like, oh my God. And then she wouldn't tell me. That was the hilarious thing. She's like, and I'm like, oh my God, what happened in the show? I can't tell you. What the?
You should have videoed it. We could have, you know, could have added to the ever growing store of.
Oh, that is a gold mine
on YouTube.
It's just crazy. Like the reaction for this, maybe I'm just surrounding myself with people who like Game of Thrones. Maybe 99% of the world doesn't care. But it's been a really visceral reaction from television watchers. I'm talking about the television watchers because the book readers would know, surely.
Yeah, well, the book readers are just sitting there like the Cheshire Cat's evil twin brother because they know what else is coming.
No spoilers on that one. It's actually a really interesting situation to be in because I hadn't read the books. I'd heard about the books through other geeks and people chatting about it. And I went, okay, I'll get to that one day, as you do, you know, like, because I got a pile by my bed. And that was one of those, oh, hang on, how many books? How big are they? I'll get to that one day. But I kept getting closer and closer and closer to actually reading them. And then the TV show started. And Natalie and I started watching it together and she got really into it, much more than I ever did. She got really into it. And so now I sort of watch it with her. And I don't really want to read ahead. I'm enjoying the discovery process of the
visually.
Yeah, and there's nothing against the books, but I discovered it through television, therefore I'm kind of loyal to the TV show, if that makes sense. I will go back and read the books, but at the moment I'm discovering it that way. But most people, of course, discovered it by reading the tomes.
Well, I think they did, didn't they? Because how many people watch this thing? Even with the torrents, it's what, about 4 million or something like that? 5 million global audience?
Yeah, it's huge.
It's got what you think about it, it's got a huge mass cultural mind share for something that is probably really only rates what about an audience twice the size as that football game that's on tonight,
the one that we're not watching.
Yeah, that one. Yeah.
Now if one team was full of monsters and the other team was full of robots, then we're gonna watch.
I'd be a team manager. I wouldn't be here talking to you guys. That would be my life path worked out. I'd start just by polishing the monsters or polishing the robots, I don't care which, and I'd work up to be team manager in some sort of bizarre path of glory.
You'd be that guy that Wolverine plays in the other robot fighting movie that failed because the robots were only like 10 feet tall, the size of city blocks.
That's right. And
stupid producers. Real steel.
That's right.
It.
And the moment you have a little boy who's like, you know, Daddy, I'll only love you if you fight a robot to death with another robot. You're like, I'm sorry, you've kind of lost me.
Like, isn't like the hero of that film like a washed up robot too?
Yeah, they find it buried or something, and it turns out to be better than all the others.
Amazing, isn't it, how those crappy, superseded, you know, barely functioning old bits of technology always turn out to be shitloads more awesome than the most up-to-date kit.
It's one of those, it's that feeling everyone kind of says, it's that idea that back in the good old days, because I teach children, I've actually started saying, back in the bad old days, we had to do terrible things, like, you know, no wireless and this sort of craziness.
We had to get up off the couch to change the channel.
I know.
And there are only three of them.
They're just shocking things. We've just got to change the culture. We've got to start saying, the past sucked. You could get polio in the past. Why would you want to live there? It's like, ugh. Unless you're, you know, middle class white male, then it was pretty awesome.
We should have had Clumsy on this show because I have a writer question for her, which is how she managed to put that recap together given that she was fetal
It took
after watching it.
No, I can. I will speak for her, and she can have a right of reply. It took a long time. When she rang up and she was howling that upset, she honestly had no idea how she was going to write it, because all the recaps, she did have a level of comedy to them, and she sort of thinks of wordplay and has it.
Yeah, and they're great. They are. For those who don't know, we're talking about the Girl Clumsy recaps on Fairfax, Game of Thrones. They're one of the top five recaps in the world, I reckon.
There you go. And she calls them Raven On, which is a brilliant name for them as well. Mm-hmm. Like when she rang me, I think I saw her 4 hours later after her watching it. It took her at least 4 hours to get her crap together and then write the recap. In a way that wasn't just screaming "F you" at George R. R. Martin.
I mean, the first four paragraphs were pretty much that.
she left a fair bit of that in.
She did.
She worked a little blue this week.
What's really scary is that nowadays, every night when she goes to bed, all I hear is her just whispering the names. She goes, "George R. R. Martin, HBO, George R. R. Martin, HBO. Someone's going to get a knife. It's going to be really scary. It's really horrible at the moment." Just don't go near her. I don't wear a big beard and a fat suit at the moment. I'm just my normal wear around.
Is that why you've dressed me like this?
Yeah, you're my Martin decoy. Boom! But she's dealing okay with it. I'm just hoping there's no more terrible surprises in the next one. I'm hoping there's not like a double punch in the episode 10 where they just thought the Red Wedding was bad. Whoop, you know, we've just cut Tyrion's head off or something. Or, you know, that's some sort of
shock. Don't say that! I know.
The only thing I tweeted after I watched it was, Tyrion is okay!
I was looking for Red Wedding memes today, or I did see a great one, which was a picture of George Martin just grinning like a psychopath. And Like a psychopath. He just said, every time someone asks me, when is the next book coming out, I kill a Stark.
My favourite joke so far has been, why isn't George R. R. Martin on Twitter? Because he's already killed 140 characters. Yay! So it's a good point, though. People have been talking about, you know, how can he do that? But, I mean, you've written an article yourself, JB, about this, you know, killing characters and being invested. We are invested in it, and that's important. So when characters die, if you do get upset, then that's good. That means the writer's doing an amazing job. Because if you care, then you care. I mean, obviously. Why are you reading it otherwise?
Yeah, I could see this coming a couple of years ago when they chopped Ned Stark's head off at the end of Series 1, or, you know, I think it's like Episode 11. Episode 11 is when, you know, they clean everyone out. If you're an actor with a contract on this amazing show, you're always waiting for the script to Episode 11 to see whether or not you're going to survive to the next year or so. And they chopped it. And the Twitter reaction, it was a smaller show back then. It was still pretty big, but it was still a show for true believers and diehard fans and people, you know, people who followed the band before it was cool. And even then, the reaction, I was surprised at the number of people who just lost their shit when Joffrey had, you know, Ned Stark's head cut off.
Spoilers for season one of Game of Thrones.
We're our time travel assisting.
Well, not only are they surprised, but they're more than happy to go, oh my God, I just saw this thing. You weren't watching it, were you? You're not behind, are you?
But I suppose it's kind of like, that's a good question though. Why do people do that? And they go on social media. So my first point is, don't be on social media if you don't want to get spoiled. But it's almost like you saw something terrible that happened to you, or you happened in your town. So you went, oh my God, my best buddies, the Starks, just got murdered. Did you not? You have to help me. And you go, well, no, it didn't. Our monkey brains can't kind of work out that it didn't happen to us, or it didn't happen to the guy.
Or anyone real.
It's just monkey brain says, argh. And so we talk about it as if it was almost real. So it's like, we've got to go and tell people this horrific thing happened. And everyone goes, oh my God, that horrific thing is going to happen to me in 6 hours, you bastard. You just ruined it for me. So
it's funny how it's got completely out of hand though, hasn't it? Because I think it was after I must have written that piece about, it was either about this or it was some Game of Thrones related piece of crap, and somebody in the comment thread who doesn't watch the show and hadn't read the books, I know what it was. I was talking, there was a piece on the Atlantic Wire.
Which sounds like the sequel to Pacific Rim.
Actually, it does a bit, doesn't it?
much lower budget.
Little robots, the leftovers. That's from right. The Wolverine movie.
Poking a lizard in the eye.
Ow, the robots, ow. Wolverine rejected. There was this great story on there about army cooks God forbid. It was actually fantastic. It was a guy who was writing about how they were pulling army cooks out of Afghanistan or something. And I put a link back to the Atlantic because that's only good manners. Anyway, somebody followed the link back there and they saw in one of the most popular posts of the day that it was all about Game of Thrones. Mm. And they actually said, you know, they had never imagined a day when they would go to a magazine site like the Atlantic.com and see these just this whole ladder of articles about a TV show. And they actually said, you know, there's something weird culturally happening with that show. Mm. And it's true. Like, it still doesn't have mass numbers. It's still, I think, an audience of 6 million, even with all of the thieving freetards who steal it. It's still only topping out about 6.5 mil. It's got this massive mind share in popular culture. Maybe just a lot of journalists watch it.
That's like you're thinking too. It's kind of like Breaking Bad. Breaking Bad is really popular. I love Breaking Bad. And people I hang out with really like Breaking Bad. But when you actually talk to other real people, then I don't know how many of them actually
mainstream Australians.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
just, mainstream humans.
Yeah, that's right. Not all us clone-born things, you know, from decanted from vats that I seem to know. Because we're the people who write the blogs and talk on the internet and make podcasts. So our voices largely inflated, I think. That's where the average person isn't.
Sounds like you're writing a song.
Is it?
We're the people who write the blogs.
Right. Yes, I've just suddenly become a crap orator for some sort of lefty blog thing.
Yeah.
Okay. What I'm trying to say is our voice is inflated because if you write the stories, of course, then your voice gets out into mass media.
Our voices are inflated.
Oh, stop it. Being mocked by Dan. Thanks, Dan. So, Game of Thrones is hugely popular. I mean, HBO is making a mint off it, though, isn't it?
Oh, I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
I hope so.
Yeah,
well, keep making it.
Yeah,
that's right. They keep renewing it.
And well, obviously, they won't for much longer because pretty much 2-3 quarters of the audience have just gone, well, I'm not watching again. I can't watch.
Everyone's going to be dead. Here's my idea. I think all that's going to be left is Hodor standing on a field on a pile of bodies going, Hodor? And that'll be it. Everyone else in Westeros will be dead. I'm going to come out and say it. Tyrion would upset me. If they kill Hodor, I am... that's it. That's my line. I made a line in the sand. You can't kill Hodor because he can't. He's lovely and he's big and he's kind of simple. And I love
it. And every time he says anything, it's hilarious.
And
he's
brilliant. And I want to be like, I can't believe that actor got that role. And you sit there and go, you gammy bastard. He carries a kid on his back.
And he's probably getting 50 grand an ep.
He probably is. And because he's going to be really big. Because he leaves, he goes, hello, I'd like to. That's how I think Hodor actually sounds, the actor. Hello. I think that my fee is remarkably small. And
we have to make sure this guy gets an award. I want him to get up on that podium, claim a big statue.
Just go, Hodor. And that's it. And it'll be the best acceptance speech ever.
They do actually. They need to create a whole new category because just to make that happen.
We're going to do it. We should do it on Spartacast. We should call it now. We should all the millions of people listening to our voices right now to just start the
grassroots campaign.
Yes, grassroots campaign. So what are we saying about spoilers? Are we for spoilers? Are we against spoilers?
Look, I figure they're just inevitable nowadays. Mm-hmm. And as soon as you start reading, well, any kind of, whether it's mass media or micromedia, once you start reading them on other media, you just accept the fact that there's going to be spoilers. If you don't want to know about something, you just don't read about it. Like I don't read, you know, obviously don't read movie reviews until after I've seen the movies and then only to violently disagree with the fucking idiot who wrote the review.
Dear editor, you are an idiot.
Wired has a pretty good way of handling the GOT spoilers. Mm. They have that sort of weird system where you look at the blog and the recap of Thrones, and they've got whole paragraphs blacked out like they've been redacted by the CIA, and if that's because they're spoilerific, and if you want to know, like if you have read the books, for instance, and you know exactly what's going to happen, then you can mouse over those and click or double click and have it revealed. So they're pretty good at hiding that stuff, but most people aren't going to go to that length. I know myself from writing about these things that you can go into an entry with the intention of not giving away spoilers, but just some offhand comment
Well, Girl Clumsy's had, she's had email sent to her, quite personal and angry email sent to her work address saying, look, you're a horrible, spoiling, nasty human being, you know, to make it polite company, because even your clever article names, she writes clever article names, and she goes, that spoiled it. And you're like, did it? Or did it spoil it after the effect?
No, I sent one of those emails.
Oh,
No. But I should have.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, she told, one of her names mentioned a location that was quite interesting in it. And so suddenly, and so it was about the pit. I was like, oh, well, apparently a pit's important.
Right.
So all the way through, I'm like, well, the pit's important.
That's the Brianna and the pit thing.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, it was. That's right. Every hole in the ground, you're like,
Yeah. Is this it?
Pit!
Shit's going to get real!
There's a divot!
No,
there's a plot divot!
It's going to a different character.
There's another hole! There's a man who's slightly shorter than another man, or means he's a tall man in a hole! We can't, I don't know. They very rarely point cameras at feet. There's been a bit of research done into this, JB and Dan, and it actually has been shown that hearing spoilers does not spoil your enjoyment of a show, that your brain still reacts in a very positive way. So though we have all this outrage about it, I've had it spoiled, supposedly it doesn't spoil your enjoyment. You still will enjoy it just as much. I mean, that's Egghead saying that, so, you know, what are Eggheads saying?
So what do? They measure brain waves or something.
I think your erection.
To measure this,
Wow.
Oh, that sounds good.
That sounds like science to me.
So this Emma Watson Doctor Who thing.
I need a drink if we're going to be discussing this any further.
That's right. Hodo and Emma Watson. Okay, stop now.
All right. Your shout?
My shout.
Your shout?
Yeah, always.
Okay.
It's your round, dude. It's your round! You're hanging at the back of the bar. So just bam!
You have been listening to Spartacast. John Birmingham's new ebook, Stalin's Hammer, can be found at momentumbooks.com.au. Gregoire and Dan Beeston can be found talking about science, comedy, and ignorance at smartenough.org. This has been a Smart Enough Bunny production. Danny Minogue speaking. Of the gravy boing project, suffer and see, came to take you home. I dread lyrics like spits, fed lyrics like drips. In the arms of licking spirit with my miracle web, web. Cause what I'm hearing's all shared on the lyrical tip.